Gospel for this morning is taken from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On one occasion, when Jesus was going into the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then, in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to your friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends and your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends of Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So, what's so great about humility? I'll be back to one about why humility is so great. You know, virtually every person of wisdom in the history of the human race, philosophical, religious, or otherwise, has taught the virtue of humility. So there must be something behind that. With the exception of some more secular folks who might see humility, I think some people see humility as a sign of a person who thinks that they're a bad person. In other words, you don't want to think of yourself as a bad, lowly person who's not as good as everybody else. But that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we mean by humility. In fact, that's not even humility. That's just a negative opinion of yourself. So, we're probably not going to run into the same kinds of situations mentioned by Jesus in our text. When we go to a dinner party, for example, we're probably not going to run into a situation where some people want to give places of honor, and then it goes on down the line. Roman society, which bled into Jewish society at the time, was highly stratified. Some people were considered to be a very high status, and some people a very low status. And so when a gathering was put together, those of low status sat in the low places, and those of high status in the high places, so that everybody knew what the general pecking order looked like. Some people were just more honored than others. In fact, some historians have called the society an honor-shame society. So, of course, in an honor-shame society, what you want is to be honored to the extent that that's possible and avoid publicly being shamed to the extent that that's possible. Obviously, the pecking order in those days would have been from the lowest, which would be slaves. And then people of the land, commonly referred to as peasants, most of the people Jesus was involved with, from whom he came, And then on up to the highest, which would be the rulers and their retainers and military leaders and that sort of thing, on up to the king. So, so that was the ranking order, and Jesus teaches that you should not seek praise and honor, you should be humble and be willing to sit lower down. So, throughout the Gospels, humility is taught as a virtue on many occasions. So James and John are arguing one day, who's going to get to sit on the right and the left-hand side of Jesus when he comes along with Mary? And they're arguing about who gets to be in the place of the honor. And Jesus tells them that he came to serve, and he expects them to do the same, and that the people who will be the most honored will be those who are servants of everyone. Not in terms of upside down, in terms of what was thought of as places of honor and honor. So in a more general sense, humility is considered important. And I want to make a distinction here between the kind of humility that people derive. Again, biblically, humility doesn't mean that we consider ourselves worse than other people. In the sense of being so down on yourself that you don't think you have anything to offer. Obviously, that's absurd. God calls all of us to use the gifts that God has given us to serve others in the community. So God obviously doesn't mean by that humility. Humility, rather, in a spiritual sense, is a matter of understanding something about the nature of who we are, being honest about that, being honest about our own role when it comes to the difficulties and problems in our lives, whether that be in relationships or at work or in any other endeavor where there's problems and there's a tendency on the part of most of us to want to blame something else other than ourselves for everything that's going wrong in our lives. Or when we get in a conflict with somebody, it's their fault, it's not our fault. The Adam and Eve syndrome. Humility has more to do with a very strong ability to be honest about ourselves, our own failings, and our own need to take responsibility for the ways in which we can change for them. Humility is all about, you see, when people are in a situation where they think they're already just fine, there's no problem with them. Girl Kirsten, in her practice, and unfortunately she won't be here today because she had a situation in her. But in her practice, she wrote one of the worst things that can happen. People who don't understand what it means to go to a therapist. You think that a therapist is like a doctor who's going to prescribe a pill and make you better. That isn't the way it works. The way therapy works is you identify what's going on in your life, you identify the role you have played in the negative things that are going on in your life, and then you take responsibility to change what you can change and accept the things you can't change. If you can't do that, therapy will do you no good whatsoever. And that's what humility is about, truth, really. Humility is about recognizing that there are many ways in which we all, to use Paul's terms, we all fall short of glory of God. We're all sinners, right? And to avoid being like the Pharisee who stood at the temple and thanked God for how wonderful he was, listing all of his virtues, and thanking God that he was so much better than that obvious sinner who was next to him, beating his breast and ask him for God's mercy. People who were like that, Jesus often comes to call you hypocrites. Hypocrite is a Greek word that means an actor. And he called them hypocrites because they were acting as if they were somebody they were not. When we pretend to be better than we are, or when we pretend that the problems in our lives are all caused by things other than ourselves, that we have no role in what's going on, that there's no way we can change because, you know, it's not our fault. That's the kind of pride that is condemned in Scripture. And humility is the exact opposite. Humility is the ability to look back on your life, for example, look back on our lives and recognize the ways in which perhaps we have been engaged in repetitive forms of behavior that we have not been able to correct, and that tend to result in the same problems over and over again, or that tend to result in our not being able to get out from under such problems over and over again. You know, it's like that, the definition of insanity that is used among Alcoholics Anonymous. That insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Well, we all do that sometimes. We keep doing the same thing over and over again and wonder why the problem is there. So humility is the ability to look at those kinds of things, to recognize, in all honesty, well, perhaps all of my problems are the result of what's happening to me in the world. Other people, you know, circumstances beyond my control, or whatever it might be. Even when there is tragic situations in life, even when we do lose somebody who's close to us or something, or even when there are situations about which we couldn't have any control over, that had a negative impact on us. Nevertheless, we still have control over how we react and respond to those things. And what humility suggests is that we find it within ourselves. Number one, recognize that we can handle life on our own. We aren't as great, perhaps, as we think we are. Perhaps we can't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps every time. And to seek the grace of God. To, in the words of Paul, pray without ceasing. In other words, recognize that at any given time in life, I need to stay close to God. Because that is ultimately what is going to give us the ability to deal with things in a positive way, to change in a positive way when we need to do that. I inserted the word for confession and forgiveness today because that's precisely what that is. Confession is the willingness to accept the fact that we fall short. So in that sense, we do encounter God as a judge. God does judge us. God, well, sometimes I worry about this thing Bonhoeffer called cheap grace. What he meant by that is that God says, you're just fine as you are, you don't have to change. That would be like telling somebody who was involved in negative behavior, like a criminal or an alcoholic or a drug addict or somebody else, who, if they didn't change, would wreck their lives and the lives of other people. That would be like telling them, you're just fine as you are, don't worry about it, you don't have to solve that problem. Don't worry about taking the slug to the Lord's work, because God loves you anyway. He'll just forgive you. That's cheap grace. God doesn't do that. God doesn't judge us. Not because he wants to judge us and cast us aside, because he wants to save us. He wants us to be people who are maturing and growing in our faith, in our ability to handle the malevolence, the difficulties, and the problems that are inherent in life in this world without being destroyed by them. And we can't do that unless first we understand, number one, the role we play, and number two, our need for God's grace. Forgiveness is an open door. Forgiveness first is you're not held accountable for a past you can't do anything about. Okay, the past is dead and gone, you're not held accountable. But the future is open. The future can be different than the past was. And forgiveness is an open door, not just to letting go of the past, but to growing more mature, faithful people in the future who are able to take responsibility for the high standards that Jesus Christ held the disciples to. Remember the time the rich young man came to Jesus? What do I have to do, Master, to inherit eternal life? Well, he said, first observe the command. Go on, I've done that for my youth. You lack one thing, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And if you do it. Now, I'm always trying to put myself in his place. Would I have been able to do it? I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea to judge that guy. Because what Jesus asked of him is no small thing. Give up the most meaningful part of your life to follow me. In other words, transform your life so that the highest good in your life is no longer your wealth, but it's your relationship with God. Are you willing to do that? Can you do that? Whether he could or whether he couldn't, I don't know, but I do know this. The standards don't change. God's invitation to experience the grace we need to follow Jesus on the path that Jesus calls us to, that never changes either. And it doesn't matter how young or how old a person is. Now, I've heard some older people say, I'm X age, I'm too old to change now. Oh, follow me. It's never too late. Never. There's no such thing as too late, as long as you agree with it. Not with the grace of God. We can all grow in our faith. And we can all come to recognize that whether it's a broken relationship or any other kind of problem, we can all come to recognize and admit to the role that we have played in the problem that we're facing. And the only way, unfortunately, human beings, even in their families, tend to prefer victory over reconciliation. I'm going to win this fight. They want that rather than to be reconciled. Well, that doesn't matter. That's the opposite of humility. Humility seeks reconciliation. Person who is humble because they don't need to exalt themselves. The grace of God exalts us. As long as we know that we have a God who loves us to the degree that the hairs on our head are counted, why would we need to exalt ourselves? If you put your faith in Him instead, there's no need. Such people don't need wind. Such people are capable of reaching out to others. And taking taking responsibility, even to the point where we might say to ourselves, this person maybe isn't willing to face up to what they're doing, but for the sake of my love for this person, I'm going to set that aside. Knowing that somewhere down the road, perhaps they too can grow and figure it out that they too have weaknesses for the sake of our relationship. Finally, I'd like to just end by quoting once again our friend Brother Martin. Brother Martin believed the Word of God could be divided up into two parts, law and gospel. According to Brother Martin, God speaks to us through the law. And the law puts us in our place. The law gives us standards we can't live up to. The law, insofar as we take it seriously, forces us to recognize that we are indeed sinners in need of God's grace. But the law is not the last and the final word. The final word is the gospel. And the gospel is Jesus Christ himself. He is God's gift to you and to me. His gift to you and to me is one of sheer love, mercy, grace, and the promise of eternal life. And when we rest in that, we don't need to exalt ourselves because He will exalt us. We are in need.